Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I'd probably get on Bill Walton's handlebars, too. Why not? Get a GoPro. Ask him one question and let him go for 15 or 20 minutes while he pedals. Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports, friend of the show, does a great job covering the Oregon Ducks. I want to talk Oregon football. I want to talk about Cole Anthony, and I'm bringing him on. How are you, Preem? What's up?
Dude, I was just going to ask, would you get on the bike? That's an awesome intro.
I'd get on that bike in a heartbeat. I mean, why not? What a story. What did you do? I was on Walton's handlebars. Do you lose your man card if you get on Walton's bike and you get on the handlebars?
Absolutely not.
Okay, that's a good
one. I think everyone out there would do that.
It's a good story. It's not somewhere where I prefer. 100%. It's not somewhere, like, if you offered me, I'd be like, no, that's weird.
But if, I wouldn't offer you to get on my bike.
Yeah, Walton, different. Walton is different.
Yeah, Walton's just different. Everyone has a Walton experience. If you've been any kind of experience around him, you have a story to tell. And I think every single one of them is awesome.
Oak Hill Academy has a 6'2" guard. Cole Anthony, he's a 5-star guy. He says he's going to announce his college decision on Monday. He's down to Georgetown, Carolina, Notre Dame, and Oregon. Preem, how important would Cole Anthony be to the Ducks?
He would be monumental. I mean, I think if you add him into this rotation of Peyton Pritchard and then Cole Anthony, and you could say it's Chris Duarte, who's the number one junior college prospect who signed, or maybe a Will Richardson. You pair that with Kenny Wooten and Francis Okoro down low, you've got a team that's, in my opinion, probably top 8 in the country or so. You know, Cole Anthony is that good. He is very, very talented. He can be a lead guard. He can be off the ball and be your scorer. He's an alpha male type personality. Everyone kind of gets behind him. And I think there would be a little bit of a dynamic of, you know, is this Peyton's team? Is this Cole's team? I would think going in, it's Peyton's team. And then it's making sure that those two guys, you know, don't clash and get along. Not that I don't think that they would. I think both guys are like-minded. Is he going to go to Oregon? That's going to be the question. And I think you kind of know Oregon's stance based on their official visitor list for this weekend. There's a grad transfer and there's two sit one, play two guard transfers that are coming in. I wasn't anticipating Cole Anthony coming to Oregon two months ago. My opinion after speaking with him up at the Hoop Summit last week in Portland has never changed. And I think you can kind of read the tea leaves a little bit of where Oregon's thinking is at with who they're bringing in for official visitors this weekend.
So do you think Oregon believes they're sitting in the second position here?
Yeah. Reading the tea leaves, yeah, I do. You know, I would think, you know, if Cole Anthony called them up and said, hey, I want to come, will you still take me? You know, they'll immediately pick up the phone to the grad transfer that they're bringing in and say, hey, sorry, you know, we're going in a different direction. I just don't think they're expecting that. And, you know, maybe this weekend's a little bit of, you know, being prepared for worst case scenario, but I think it's also being, you know, realistic of, you know, dad never made it to North Carolina, made it to Eugene to see the school. He was at North Carolina 4 times. Mom came to Oregon once, which was a half-day visit before the Hoop Summit on Friday. She made it multiple times to Chapel Hill to see the UNC campus. And just stuff like that, that resonates. That kind of tells you where things are trending. Previously, you've had guys like Jamal Murray, Brandon McCoy, to a lesser extent, RJ Barrett, where For Murray and McCoy, when they going into the days of their decision, everyone and their mothers thought Oregon. And they, Jamal Murray went to Kentucky, Brandon McCoy went to UNLV. Utter shock to everybody. It would be the inverse of that for Cole Anthony in his decision. If he was to go to Oregon, it would be the opposite. It would be a total shock to everyone that covers college basketball recruiting for him not to go to North Carolina.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, is with us. Does the presence of Peyton Pritchard, is that a deterrent for Cole Anthony? Because he wants to come in, he wants to play, he wants to say, this is my team.
Yeah, I think initially, yes. Because North Carolina is telling him, hey, look, Kobe White just left. Our entire starting five is gone. We need dudes. And on top of that, we don't have anyone that's running our point guard position. It's yours. And Oregon, on the meanwhile, says, we have Peyton Pritchard, and he's been a three-year starter. So I think the first layer of that, yeah, that's a deterrent for Oregon. Now Oregon can then go in and say, and this is what they have said to Cole Anthony, is go back to our Final Four season and look at where Oregon was so successful. They had two point guards on the floor in Dylan Ennis and Peyton Pritchard. And they told Cole Anthony that the position is at the second guard position is yours, because Lewis King is gone. He's gone to the NBA. He's signed with an agent. He's not even in Eugene anymore. He's not enrolled in school. That door of coming back is basically shut. So it, the shooting guard spot is yours. And how Oregon got to the Final Four was playing two point guards. And part of, you know, that was part of it, but a key piece.
Yeah, it's really interesting on Lewis King, because, you know, my sense was he was gone, but you're telling me he's not even in school, that he is gone.
Yeah, he's not even here. He's gone. He's moved out of his apartment, I was told. He's not enrolled into school. Neither is Bol Bol. Lewis King and Bol are gone. Kenny Wooten and Peyton Pritchard are both enrolled in school. Both have participated this week and team activities. They've resumed their off-season workouts. The staff now gets, you know, it's like a couple hours a week with like three guys on the floor at one time. The staff gets to work with those guys, and Wooten and Pritchard have both gone through those workouts, and both guys are conducting their NBA workouts on the weekend. So they're going to school during the week, and then they get on planes and they go wherever NBA team wants to work them out. So both of them are in school, and the other two are completely gone.
We're talking to Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. I really was hoping King would come back. I think if he comes back, he's a top 15, top 20 player in the draft. He's probably getting somebody who's telling him, you're a first-round guy, now's the time. How does this inhibit the program? If there's no Lewis King in the picture, it's Wooten, it's Pritchard, it's some other guys. Who are we not talking about here who's going to be a key contributor?
Chris Duarte. Oregon staff was very smart, because they knew when they signed Lewis King in November of 2000, what would that be, 2017, they knew that he was a one-and-done player and that there was a good chance that he was one-and-done. He then got hurt his January of 2018, the senior year of his season. That really slowed his development. He could not practice really a ton with Oregon. You know, we know that story. And so that kind of opened the door. Well, maybe now he's going to be a two-year player. But before that injury happened, Oregon went out and started recruiting Chris Duarte. He is the JUCO All-American first-team player of the year at the highest level of junior college basketball. He's 6'6". He was signed to go to Syracuse out of high school. He's originally from Puerto Rico, couldn't get into school, so then he had to go to – he thought he could get into Western Kentucky, so he went there and then found out this isn't for him because it's Western Kentucky, and went JUCO. And every major Power 5 team was after him. He averaged 18 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. He shot over 40% from 3, 50% from the field. Teams in the JUCO National Championship Tournament, they ran box and one against him because they couldn't stop him. That's how they lost. And at Oregon, when he gets here, teams are not going to be able to run box and one if they want to win, because Oregon's got better weapons around him. Chris Duarte is basically Lewis King 2.0 in terms of how they will deploy him, because they were anticipating Lewis King could potentially be a one-and-done guy.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports with us. Oregon spring football game, before I cut you loose, let's turn the attention there. They're expecting maybe 30,000 plus at Autzen Stadium on Saturday, 2 o'clock. What are you looking for in that game?
Well, originally I was going to say, what was the number two quarterback going to look like? Is it Tyler Shuck, or does Cale Millen have a chance? But Mario Cristobal already came out and said that, you know, Shuck is the guy. So for now, it's what do we see as a receiver position? I think that was the group that was the most fluid going into fall camp. Looking at the options that they have, it's going to be kind of a TBA, because a couple guys are hurt. Brian Addison, Isaiah Crocker, two guys that came in highly profile recruits that redshirted last season, they've been nicked up. Addison has some kind of hand injury that prevents him from obviously catching the football. I don't know what Crocker's injury is, but we've also seen the additions of Juwan Johnson from Penn State, and then you've also got Micah Pittman and Josh Delgado. Booknight, the receivers coach, Jovan Booknight, I talked to him today. He said Micah Pittman has the best hands of anyone on the team. He didn't seem to really make it like there's anyone close to him. That's pretty impressive for a freshman. I think Delgado is very cerebral, from talking to what Cristobal and Booknight said of him as well. So you've got three newcomers who are certainly pushing the returners for that first string rep. And that's going to be what I'm going to be watching, is to see if these new guys are really as good as advertised, of, you know, what people are saying about them.
It's interesting, too, because, you know, we tend to focus on offense, don't we? We look at receivers, yeah. We look at running backs. And I'm curious, too, to see, without Jim Leavitt, what will the defense do this next season? How good will it be? Will we notice that he's not there? Those kinds of things. I don't know if we can get that in a spring game.
Yeah, I mean, not to go back to the offensive side of the ball, but I would expect it to be the same defensively. The running backs coach Jim Mastro told me it's going to be very vanilla offensively. They just want to show, you know, they want to work on fundamentals, making sure they do the basics right. And you know, I wouldn't imagine, you know, the defense is going to do much of the same. Because, look, yeah, everyone, all these teams are out there are watching each other in their spring games, and that's why they don't do anything crazy. That's why they don't show all the, you know, a ton of stuff, because it's free advertising for your competition to watch what you do. So from an Andy Avalos standpoint, I think we'll kind of get the basics of the defense, and we'll kind of learn what the foundation is, but we won't see the full playbook, right? I would be shocked if we did, of what they could do defensively. Now, where do guys line up? That's going to be interesting. Where do guys fit within the defense from a positional standpoint? Now, who's the studs? Who are the guys on the outside at the stud linebacker position? Who are the three guys, you know, on the depth chart at that group? Where are linebackers lining up, and who fills those holes? Do they add a fourth defensive lineman, or is it three? You know, those are the type of things that we'll find out about the defense, I think, of just personnel and where they all kind of fit. And then from a scheme standpoint, we'll have to wait until fall.
Prehm, you're the best. I appreciate you. Great stuff.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks, John.
All right. Terrific stuff there. You heard it here. Lewis King, not even in school. Slammed the door on that one. All right. Coming up, we will play Punch It Audio. We've got Andrew Greif of the LA Times to talk about the Clippers and Warriors. What a roller derby that one is. And much more. Leave it here. Been kind of a fun radio show today. I think I'm still kind of on a high after having Bill Shonley in studio here. That was a lot of fun. The Shons was with us. If you missed that, get the podcast. Trust me, just get the podcast. You'll understand what I mean when you listen to it. We're going to play Punch It Audio. It's the best sound from all around.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth Headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio.
Presented by First Call Heating and Cooling.
Blazers Thunder playoff series. Blazers lead 2-0. Series goes to Oklahoma City on Friday. 6:30 tip, Portland time. Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman. He is the sports columnist in OKC. I asked him, what are the Thunder fans thinking right now? Down 2-0. Punch it.
Sky's falling. It's not just these two games. I mean, they've known for 2 months that this team isn't right. Now people are realizing, you know, this season is going to end very soon.
We'll see. Trammell down on the Thunder. This is a team that swept the regular season series against the Blazers. You know all that, blah, blah, blah. Here's another fact, though. The Thunder led the NBA in steals and deflections this season. They're not getting them in this Blazers series. Keep an eye on that in Game 3. If the Thunder are going to put up a fight, if this is really going to be a series, the Thunder are going to win Game 3, and they're going to have to do it on the defensive side of the ball. Greg Anthony on the Dan Patrick Show. Father of Cole Anthony, former NBA player in Portland. He's looking at the Houston Rockets, and he says they don't look fun. Punch it.
I do think Houston is the team best equipped because I think they're the better defensive team. And as much as I love Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum, I think those guys are brilliant. I would say that they also have the better player. I think overall you can make the argument James Harden is the best player in the league right now.
James Harden and the Rockets looked scary. Flipped a switch. I also, though, think that anything can happen in the playoffs. We've seen players get hurt. We've seen the dynamic shift on a dime. If the Blazers are smart, which I think they are, I think they keep their focus right where it needs to be, on Oklahoma City and putting the Thunder away. Then they turn their focus to the Denver-San Antonio series and whoever it is that they have to play there. You don't worry about the Rockets and Warriors. Because you don't have to play the Rockets and Warriors. You'd only have to play one or the other. And as much belly aching as we all did about the Blazers becoming the 3 seed, that is the advantage that they earned should they get out of this first round. Greg Anthony, also on the Dan Patrick Show, talked about his son Cole. He's narrowed his college decision to 4 places, including Oregon and North Carolina, Georgetown and Notre Dame. Everybody thinks he's going to UNC. Oregon could be second. Here's Greg Anthony talking about his kid. Punch it.
Well, your son is one of the prized recruits of this year's class. He's narrowed it down to what, Georgetown, Oregon, Notre Dame, and North Carolina?
He has, yeah. And I saw he posted on Instagram last night that his decision is coming. So
you don't know?
I just hope it won't. Well, it hasn't been determined completely. You know, it's getting close. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. So I'm anxiously awaiting the decision like most. So,
are you pushing him?
I'm glad when his decision will be over.
are you pushing him for Georgetown after you played with Patrick Ewing?
Oh, I do think that Georgetown would be a good fit for him. Potentially, Patrick's done a hell of a job as a coach there, and yeah, we do have a personal relationship. I have a personal relationship with some folks in North Carolina. I play with Hubert Davis as well, who's the assistant head coach there. I'm also very fond of the folks at Notre Dame and Oregon. so I don't. At the end of the day, if they're recruiting me, that's a problem because I don't have the eligibility.
Greg Anthony not being recruited. Cole Anthony being recruited. Decision will come on Monday. Most people think it's going to be UNC. Oregon bringing in, as Matt Prehm said, on their list of visits this weekend, bringing in a couple guys at the guard position. Looks like they're preparing to stopgap. They know something that the rest of us don't. Read the tea leaves. Russell Wilson, Seahawks quarterback, says, I just wanted to be the Seahawks quarterback. Punch it.
That's why I wanted to be in Seattle. It's just because, you know, really from the beginning of my professional career started here. And my goal was to end it here. My goal was to have a lasting impression on the city.
I like that. I like, you know, like Damian Lillard who's saying, hey, Portland could be my forever place. I like when players pick a spot, set up camp. I also am looking at the deal for Russell Wilson, which, by the way, will be $35 million. 18.6% of the salary cap. And I'm comparing it to other deals, like Matt Ryan's deal, Matthew Stafford's deal, Garoppolo's deal. And look, 18.6% of the salary cap's a big deal. And you think about the quarterbacks who are at the top of that list. And I have a ranking of the percentage of cap that these quarterbacks take up. It just leaves less money for the rest of the team, right? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Matthew Ryan, Matt Stafford, Andrew Luck, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo. Stop me when I get to a guy who's won a Super Bowl, right? Well, Rodgers did. Is he close now? That's a real problem. Because when you look at the list, Tom Brady is sitting down there at 8.5% of the salary cap. And there's some brilliance to what the Patriots are doing. And I think, you know, the two guys that were in the Super Bowl last year, Jared Goff is 4.5% of the Rams salary cap. Brady, 8.5% of their salary cap. Rodgers, Wilson, Matt Ryan, Stafford, Luck, Cousins, Garoppolo. How close were any of those guys to truly being in the Super Bowl? That is a big question for the Seahawks. Are they playing for a Super Bowl, or are they just playing to kind of keep this thing going for a while? James Harden and the Rockets. Rockets said, we sent a message. Punch it.
It was very important for us. We really didn't talk about last year in Game 2 and what happened, but I thought about it. You know, individually, I'm sure Chris thought about it. You know, so it was important for us to come out, and I think it was our defensive effort. We preach and we talk about it. That's where it's going end up at, and that's what we need to do in order to advance and give ourselves a chance, and we've done that.
I like how everybody's saying, though, that the Rockets, who won their two home games, and by the way, they won Game 2 by 20. Everybody's saying how terrific they look. How amazing they look. Didn't the Blazers just do the same thing? Won Game 2 by 20? 2-0 in the series? It's the Harden factor. I get it. I saw it too. I looked and I was like, wow, they look really good. But I kind of think it's a long postseason. Let's see how good they look when they're playing against other contenders, because Utah's not a contender. And I'm frankly not convinced Portland and Oklahoma City are contenders either, okay? I kind of feel like it's Houston and Golden State. Let's see that series. We'll talk more about that later. Chris Paul talked about it as well. Punch it.
I think we came out aggressive. Luckily, you know, we got a core group of guys who was here last season. We remember playing those guys and losing Game 2. So we just wanted to come out with high energy and be focused and be ready to play.
Across the bracket in the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee looks good. Punch it.
Drummond turned over. Bledsoe got it. Giannis is in the open floor. Giannis blows it down the lane. Giannis to the rim. Scores and a foul. Andre Drummond could not stop him because he is unstoppable. 105-87. Wow, Bledsoe with another good defensive play.
Giannis and the Bucks up 2-0. Series goes to Detroit. Game 3 Saturday. That looks fun. Everybody in love with the Rockets today, though. Isn't that true? All right, that's Punch It Audio. Coming up, I have a disturbing story coming out of the state of California. It always surprises me when people miss the boat completely. And there's a high school in California that I think is...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.